Beast Game Podcast, and this is the spoiler cast for X-Men Dark Phoenix. So during the standard review, I had mentioned about some current world politics that was brought up, and it just seems to be a writing ploy in a lot of movies right now that they have to have these angles where people can just feel, well, they're speaking to me when they say this stuff. This one, in particular with this movie, involves Jennifer Lawrence is basically blaming Charles Xavier for everything. And it's just really misplaced anger, bad writing, which also just caused more problems with it. And it comes up at least twice in the movie. I think one time with Sophie Turner and then the other time with Jennifer Lawrence.
So this is Simon Kinberg's fault. He fucked up on this, but for whatever reason, they think that this downgrading on women and stuff, that had absolutely zero place in this. You hit on exactly my biggest problem with how badly Fox has managed the X-Men franchise.
So what was said was that Jean Grey almost dies in space. Mystique and Charles Xavier get into an argument, and she makes a comment about keep calling this X-Men, it should be X-Women, because the women seem to be saving the men.
The argument that Charles Xavier using the X-Men to feed his own ego, pushing them out there to feed his own ego and stuff. And this is a throwback to Charles Xavier being the flawed individual that we've known and stuff, which was fine for X-Men, the First Class, Days of Future Past, even Apocalypse to the most part. But at the end of Apocalypse, his mission is firmly set. He is now the leader. He is becoming what we saw in Patrick Stewart and what we've seen in the comic book. He's the professor, the mentor, spiritual and technical leader of the X-Men. It's his philosophy that is guiding this. And he's the one who's going for cooperation between mutant kind and humans. To have that was one thing that irked me about the whole situation. The second thing that really nailed me about it was the little barb she threw in there about how the name should be changed to X-Women because the women are always saving the men around here. That the women and the X-Men, are the ones who have been taking a lead. What irked me the most was that it founded during the Civil Rights Movement as a direct commentary for the Civil Rights Movement. And it has been the most inclusive and diverse cast of characters in the entire Marvel lineup. The X-Men is its own universe. Like, literally, you can take the X-Men out of Marvel and Marvel will be the same. The X-Men will do just fine. Do not ever have to meet. And when they do meet and collide, it's always been the X-Men have been the underdog. They've been the minorities. They've been the class of people who have been marginalized, victimized, yet who are the shining stars, who are the heroes for being what they are. Back in the 70s, their leader was Storm, an African woman who led the team. That little crack just showed me that they never understood what the X-Men were all about. They never understood that X-Men were about diversity. They were about showing that people who are hated and feared for what they are, for how they were born, who are actually heroes inside or could be heroes. And it's basically the choices you make in life that makes you a hero or a villain, not how you were born.
All right. So we're just going to get into a lot of major plot points. So they got into space. The space mission goes wrong. Gets the Phoenix Force. They come back to Earth. Jean freaks out. And then what happens is that there comes an alien angle, some group called the Dabari, which I'm not familiar with them. An alien race from some distant planet that was destroyed by the Phoenix Force. And they're tracking Jean Grey because they believe that they can control her and restore the planet. Jessica Chastain, she is a normal human that gets taken over by the Dabari, and then she tries to manipulate Jean. Dabari angle, Keith, comments?
The Dabari were not even a main villain. There was a couple of characters, Dabari, who were villains. So their story, their backstory that the Phoenix destroyed their planet, that was in the comics. Dabari coming in to take the Phoenix Force to rebuild their planet, no, that wasn't even in there. The Dabari never really interacted with the X-Men like that. I think it was maybe once or twice or something like that. Phoenix Saga, the only alien race they had and that was centralized to the plot were the Shi'ar, which had a direct impact to the X-Men.
Correct.
There was absolutely no zero reason for them to bring the Dabari into this thing. They should have just made the characters the Shi'ar out there to contain the Phoenix Force, which would have made a better plot development. this millennia-old destructive entity, it makes sense that someone else out there in the wide universe would interact with that. Not only that, they could have thrown an Easter egg in there to make it look like that it was born because of some unknown cosmic event. And they could have easily segued and tried to save some of the jobs there, X-Men side of things, just by saying that, hey, it could have been caused by the Thanos snap. Then a thousand other things. But the Debari, they only served as a good...
basically, it just becomes...
beat up and kill.
Basically, it just becomes a three-prong approach to the story. It's like, well, you have these disparate groups trying to all attack the same problem. So, Matt, same question about the Debari.
I don't remember them at all in the comic books, to be honest with you. So, when I was watching it, I thought they were the actual Shi'ar. That's who I thought they were initially. I was like, oh, okay.
That was happening. I was like, oh, okay. I perked up.
Yeah, that's what I thought so too. And even like reading some of the reviews on other websites, I was like, is that them? Because then I just went away from the website. I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and watch and judge for myself. And I was like, oh, okay. But then other things, I don't know, for those that have watched like the X-Men cartoon series, like they actually did that pretty well.
Oh, they did an amazing job.
Yeah. For a cartoon back in the early 90s, thinking that Professor X would have had his love triangle with one of the queens. I was like, oh, okay. Been another plot to cover as well. But they had no reason to be in this movie. There was no development with them. It's just random people that look like little Groot show up that does some weird thing with the stomach when they put their hand over their stomach and then they miraculously die. I was like, man, they didn't even do that to the X-Men. I mean, that probably would have killed most of them right there, just with their stomach. Put their hand over the stomach, do a twist of motion, they'd be done.
Yeah, so everything I was saying about that, three groups, essentially three groups all trying to attack Jean. Charles and the X-Men, Magneto has a revenge angle, and then the Debari. So it's like the whole thing about the Debari, they were just there as a foil. There was no other reason for them to be there other than they just need to move the story along and then foil the X-Men. I didn't like it. I don't think Jessica Chastain was particularly good. She's okay in certain things, but this movie, no. So let's move on. The next major plot point is that the whole thing about Jean killing her parents and Charles Xavier stepping in to help her channel her gifts. The whole crux of the movie is based on Charles Xavier lied to Jean about her parents. That her father is actually still alive, but he told her her parents were just completely gone. That also upsets Mystique, which leads into that whole she wanting to move on and that Charles is manipulating people and that he just has a huge ego. So comments about that?
There was no point for that entire conflict. They don't even understand what the X-Men was about. That's a school. The X-Men becoming superheroes and stuff was a side of that. The X-Men were always supposed to be the public face of mutant kind. They were supposed to be the teenage boy bands, like the bright and shining vision of the future with their synchronized uniforms. That was the whole point. And her saying that, you know, they're just kids and blah, 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 and they're being used to feed your ego. And this thing with did with Jean's mind was evil and wrong. And I'm just like, what would you have done? It was forced conflict. And there was really no reason for that type of conflict, considering the fact of the stuff that she did in the previous movies. She was out to kill an innocent guy because of what he may have done or what he might do.
I didn't really care too much as far as the family dynamics impacting the story. I think there was so much other resources that they could have devoted to make the movie better overall. Like, I don't know, follow the actual comic book. That would have made it a lot more interesting. But I understand that maybe they were trying to do something a little different to catch the comic moviegoers on screen. But I didn't care too much for it. It was just another thing that just made me shake my head while I was watching the movie. And then take a look at my phone for my Facebook status. About it.
All right. So I just felt that core or center of the movie being based off of that just wasn't very good. And it just seemed forced. The Mystique misdirected anger being all based off of this just doesn't help. Charles lied because Jean's father and Charles Xavier had an agreement that he would never tell her about that he was still alive because he was just so angry at her. And then she comes there, gets angry because she doesn't see any photos of her. And then there's this weird dialogue between her and her father about, well, you killed your mother, you did this. And then that sets Jean off. The X-Men show up. There's a whole battle on the street. that results in Mystique being killed by Jean. Because Jean starts freaking out again. I can't control my powers. Rah! And then she impales Mystique. Jennifer Lawrence exits the movie, probably at the right time. And how did you guys feel about that?
Tired of Jean Grey. That whole thing of, yeah, I can't control it. And God, this is stupid. Come on, man. I mean, well, why can't you control it?
It's basically becoming the Incredible Hulk. You're making me angry.
The action scene there was pretty good, actually.
No. As grand of a story as the Dark Phoenix saga is, everything about the battle, just even going to space, felt very small scale for this important of a story.
Yes, yes, it was very small scale indeed.
Matt, any comments about Mystique?
We all knew she was going to die. I didn't care too much for Jennifer Lawrence's portrayal of her in this particular movie. And I was, when she died, I was like, oh, okay, on to the next scene.
I think these movies started going downhill when Jennifer Lawrence started complaining about the blue. So, moving on, essentially what happens after that is the X-Men are just so distraught about Mystique passing. Charles starts reflecting on his time with her. Beast just goes crazy about Charles, like, I hate you, and Mystique didn't want to be here in the first place. Jean Grey goes to Magneto looking for guidance at the hobo farm. He doesn't want her there, and then that brings the military there, and there's another small-scale battle with the military and Magneto getting upset. It also kind of leads Beast to go also find Magneto to tell him about what was going on. And then it just becomes like this, at least for me, I'm just going to make a comment right now, bad plot and like writing and just structure. So there's a whole point where Magneto's asking Jean, like, why did you come here? And she has a bloody shirt. She's just talking about how she feels and starting to have powers that she can't control. Whose blood is that? Why are you here? Whose blood is that? And she doesn't want to say. And then so Beast comes there and was like, oh, where's Mystique? Tells her that she's dead. And it should have been to the point where he should have been able to put it together himself. Like, he sees Beast get off the plane, the Quinjet, and doesn't see Mystique. That's why she was here. Let me go kill her. So it just felt uneven. So how did you guys feel about the whole Jean Grey, hobo farm, Magneto angle?
To be honest with you, I don't even know what they were going for with that.
Well,
like, she came there.
The whole
thing
that Magneto moved on.
Like, you know, not even that. It was like she went there to talk to Magneto to find out how he was able to stop hurting people. What? How do you stop yourself from hurting people? Well, you just don't hurt people. Like, what the fuck?
Well, basically, he just said he got bored. That's basically what happened.
Yeah, he's like, it didn't work. It wasn't worth it anymore. And like, she's clearly having a loss of control of their abilities. That's something that's understandable. What's not understandable is if she'd have just gone in and said, hey, I'm having problems controlling my abilities. I need your help controlling them. And I don't want to be around people I give a crap about in case I kill them. You're the next best thing. If it had approached it from that angle, then it would have been a believable plot point. Instead, it's he's trying to figure out whose blood is that? Whose blood is that? And then they go into that little clinch off where they're trying to play tug of war with a helicopter. Like, that whole point, I'm like, why are you doing this? What's the damn point? Doesn't make any damn sense.
And then she's like rubbing the blood off of her shirt. Like, it's actually supposed to come out.
I mean, yeah, that pouring down rain, you couldn't get that blood out of that shirt? Come on now.
So the military comes in, and that just kind of leads to them trying to shoot Jean Grey. I'm like, that's not a very good idea. I don't think guns work in this situation. But Matt, how did you feel about the hobo farm?
I'm mad you're calling it a hobo farm, man. Oh my goodness. What was that one refuge place that Magneto had?
Well, I think in X-Men Last Stand, they were in the woods.
Yeah, they had didn't they?
No, it's the actual name for the where he recruited all the
Not Asteroid M. It was
the Hobo Farm.
No, it's not the Hobo Farm. Yeah, it was an actual place. And it was a place that was, hey, you know, if you go there, because there's so many disgruntled mutants with powers beyond their control, if you go there, you'll probably die. But the fact that isn't Magneto like Omega Mutant? And the best thing he can come up with is metal containers? He couldn't build no better house than what they were in? Well, doesn't make any sense.
There's shows on HGTV about saving space, and you can buy these tiny homes or these container homes. And I'm just totally screwing with you, but there was a whole big plot with that that was just unexplored. It happens in all these movies that somebody wants to go to Magneto for guidance. The last movie, I think Magneto's anger was a little bit more fully developed, that he was trying to move on with his life. He had a wife and daughter, and then they were killed, and that just sets him off. That makes more sense than him being set off about Mystique being killed.
Avenge her death by killing like that was just dumb. I mean, I can understand.
And it's just like a switch. It is a switch. It's just like, all right, well, she was here. Oh, I'm going to kill her.
dumb.
And this whole kind of miniature battle with the military at Magneto's hobo farm. The president just institutes the Mutant Act. The Mutant Act is instituted, and it's like, oh, well, you got to kill him on sight. So while this is happening, Charles is trying to find him through Cerebro, and there's this whole battle about, oh, I'm exhausting my powers trying to find her. And then the Magneto's looking for her with Beast, because Beast is angry that Jean killed Mystique, because he and Mystique were about to maybe develop a relationship or something. And then the Debari have Jean. We can show you the true potential of your powers. And then a sign of bad writing, one of Magneto's boys said, oh, they're in New York. There's sightings of the girl, but we have no eyes on the ground. So if you see her and you have no eyes on the ground, how do you know that she's there? Then that leads into the beginning of the final battle, more or less. It starts off there, that there's a battle in front of a brownstone. Charles trying to make his way to Jean, and then Jean being controlled by the Jessica Chastain character and trying to steal the Phoenix Force from her. But how did you guys feel about that?
Where they were in that club and everything? Plays out similarly in the comic books. Jean Grey's invited by the Hellfire Club there to explain what's happening to her. What ends up happening is that there's a manipulation by one of the members of the Hellfire Club who does something telepathically, and it basically throws a monkey wrench in her whole psyche, creating the whole Dark Phoenix persona. And that's where the Dark Phoenix is born. Feeling every experience he can, all the human emotions, experiences and stuff, doesn't give a crap about what happens to anything else out there. Played lip service to it. They just didn't understand what the heck was going on. I think it was just another action set piece. And
Matt, the New York segment.
I'm going to call it transfer of powers. The part, I guess, where they were hugging.
Yeah.
And then she was trying to take her powers. I was like, oh, man, this is like having a Samsung phone. You just put the phones together and they transfer data. I might be childish, but that's what I thought of when I saw that. I don't know if that's how they did it in the comic books, but I just looked. I was like, them some nice Samsung phones right there.
Yeah, so that leads into Jessica Chastain having Phoenix-like powers, or at least elevated powers. The military comes in with more guns, but now these guns can automatically contain the mutants. The whole final battle is a transport on a train, which they have done that before in another X-Men movie, that the X-Men are being transported, and then the Debari are trying to get to Jean. And it's this whole thing about trying to get car to car to car to get to the front of the car to get Jean. It's kind of like Snowpiercer.
It's like the better part of the movie, I think. Led to the final fight scene, which I enjoyed. I was a little disgusted by the fact that they didn't show Cyclops being the leader, doing more of the stuff. They kept the two pretty focused on their stars. Other than that, I thought it was one of the better fight scenes. I like the Nightcrawler movements and everything. Anytime they put Nightcrawler in a movie, he does pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
Teleport powers work very well on screen. One of the better scenes in the movie, so absolutely necessary to the movie, but again, complete bullshit in terms of the story.
Matt.
I was wondering what took him so long to go ham. I'm like, really? You wait till the end of the movie to actually show any kind of heart? Start killing folks? And I understand that Nightcrawler is a peaceful dude. I get it. But after all the violence that been happening and Steve dying, probably one scene too late, but I felt the scene was great. The kind of violence that should have occurred in previous X-Men movies, but I mean, that there's one thing they did get right, acting, and the last fight scene seemed pretty nice.
So again, the Dabari are trying to go through the train to get to Jean. Okay, whatever. It's just so you can get to the train depot to have a final battle. Comes a point where there's a couple of bad lines. So it's the X-Men now united to help Jean destroy the Dabari, or at least Jessica Chastain at that point. Then there's a couple of bad lines. So there's one about, like, you want this power, you're going to get it. Not good. And then there's also another line about, like, my emotions make me strong. I'm like, all right, another misplaced line. I know why you're putting that in there, because it's kind of the same thing as we were talking about Jennifer Lawrence earlier. It's that type of writing just to get just a pacifying clap. But how do you guys feel about that part of the final battle?
Those lines were super corny. I think there was another line in which Cyclops, something pissed him off, and then he said something curse word.
Well, there was also one remember. With Beast. Beast was like
dropping the F-bombs a couple times. It was just stupid. What I've seriously got pissed off about this whole fucking movie, the conflicts they engineered didn't have to be that way. It should have been the complete opposite. It should have been everybody gathering around Jean to protect her and them fighting like against the whole world. And then trying to stop her at the same time. That would have been a much better conflict. And the internal conflict they wanted to go get in depth with that was trying to discern Magneto pushing for we to take her out versus Xavier and the rest trying to save her. But all the while, they're still trying to protect her because it don't make any goddamn sense. But whatever. So, I'm done talking about this movie.
So, well, we're almost done. It goes back into the whole point where I said, for as grand of a story that this needs to be, at least in the comic books and then also the X-Men TV show, that they were in space doing all this stuff. And they are in the train depot on Earth, one-on-many battle. No. And then I started thinking about Avengers Endgame or even Infinity War, where, again, you kind of have all these different groups trying to attack a problem. But they are all in different places. Some people are on Earth, some people are in space. It goes in that direction. But this one, we are in a train depot. Jean sacrifices herself. Save the universe, I guess. I don't know. I mean, again, it's small scale. She gives up her life, and then there's this Phoenix explosion where you see a little Phoenix coming out. I'm like, look at me. And how'd you guys feel about that?
I guess it had to end with her sacrifice, but it was just so damn cheesy. It didn't set her up as being the good guy in this whole situation. She still looked like she was just out of her mind with abilities, and she was just not worth having those abilities at all. So,
supposedly, the original ending was similar to another Marvel movie that they actually changed it last minute. I wasn't really feeling it. Just the start of the movie and the overall tone of the movie at the end of it, I was just glad for it to be done. As cheesy as it was at the end to see a Phoenix in the background, it was pretty cheesy.
And even the line that they mentioned, the Phoenix, it's just like a throwaway line. Introduced the term Phoenix.
Because remember when the first X-Men movie, like it was all about, we got to keep it grounded, realistic and stuff. And it was just one of those cases where they just didn't want to just go with it. Just go with it. You got a guy who can read minds and another kid who's born in the 1800s, is like over 300 years old and has alien metal alloy in his bonded to a skeleton. I mean, just go with it, man. Just like, embrace the campy weirdness of it and just go with it. Get
the last stand. Yeah. So the question for the Beast Gang is, what movie is worse? X-Men Origins Wolverine, X-Men 3 The Last Stand, X-Men Apocalypse, or this movie?
For me, Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine, that's probably going to be about the worst one. I mean, the scene where he was just fighting Gambit, it's just too many dumb scenes. Last Stand, I could probably watch that again. Juggernaut was funny. There was enough entertaining things in Last Stand that elevated it up. I say this movie was worse than... No, this is about the same as Apocalypse. Apocalypse, at least you had that last scene where you saw them where the X-Men now, and James McAvoy's got the shaved head, and you got Cyclops and Jean Grey and Beast, and they're all kind of together. It's like, okay, this is it. This getting to the how it was originally. I see what they're doing here. So this is a good reboot to the franchise. I'm glad to see this, but And then in this movie, it just all fell flat and didn't go anywhere. And then now it's all over and done with. So it was an exercise in total futility. Nothing beats X-Men Origins Wolverine. That was pretty horrible.
I agree with Keith. Wolverine was terrible. They mismanaged even the side characters, and there was so much that they could have went and made his character more dynamic, or at least throw Easter eggs, or even come up with a plausible villain. Yes, Apocalypse looked like something out of Power Rangers, I get it, but for him to fight the cybernetic Deadpool at the end, no, that's something you just create up because some 8-year-old said, wouldn't it be cool if you had someone who could regenerate, can disappear, has cybernetic stuff on their skin, and on top of that have blades come out of their arm and can shoot lasers out their eyes? That's something an 8-year-old would do. Wolverine's probably the worst, followed by Apocalypse, followed by The Last Stand.
I want to put The Last Stand and Wolverine Origins possibly on the same level. The ends to those movies are both completely silly, absurd, and just dumb. And then maybe this movie and then Apocalypse. So Apocalypse would be the highest of those four movies. One small comment is that they reshot this movie several times, almost maybe 2 or 3 different years. Reshot this movie. And this is what we got. Final comments.
They should have just shut it down. What was the original take? What were they originally trying to do? They, for whatever reason, they were fighting to keep this movie, to get this movie released in the first place. And just get it out the door. And I get it. I get it. Especially when Disney came around.
Got to recoup the money.
The filmmakers, Simon Kimber, because I'm pretty sure Fox was like, we might as well just shelve this thing. There, and honestly, I think Simon Kinberg is trying to make a case for themselves to not get fired by Disney because Kinberg's an executive at Fox, right?
I think he has some pull.
Because he's been involved in most of their franchises, their major science fiction franchises. Correct. So, and those very franchises are going to Disney. This is his resume. I only wish that this same type of resume situation was used against J.J. Abrams, and that way we would not have been inflicted with his bullshit. I don't even think JJ would have came up with some shit-tacular-ness like this. At least he would have faked it a little bit better. Kinberg, I don't even think he gives a shit about X-Men, and that's what pisses me off the most about this.
And it's been several movies. Again, he was the writer, Fantastic Four and X-Men Last Stand. Right. So, Matt, any final comments?
None that you haven't covered.
Matt's hatred of what he just saw overwhelms him. That's the Beast Game Podcast.
We are done with X-Men movies. Holy, wasn't our first podcast an X-Men movie?
Yes, it was X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, that was our first podcast.
And shout out to Big Mike. He saved himself from watching a bad movie.
Don't watch this shit. It's not fun at all.
Beast Game.